This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Stressed out.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. We get the official word on the health of the nation's largest banks today at 5 p.m. Eastern. But this whole stress test thing may not be that stressful. The tests are supposed to tell us which banks need more money to deal with further loan losses if the economy gets any weaker. Over the last week or so, we've been getting an idea of how some big names are doing in that department. It seems Bank of America, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup will all need to raise more dough. Names like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase are better off. Let's go now to Tamara Keith, joining us from Washington. Tamara, with all of these leaks along the way, what kind of reaction should we expect once the results are actually out?
I think this could be one of those cases where there's been so much anticipation and uncertainty, and those things are maybe scarier than the reality, that just having the facts out is better than not knowing at all.
So in terms of the banks, what happens after the results are released?
Well, the ones that have to raise extra capital will be required to come up with plans for raising that cash. They're not going to wait around to release them. They are going to rush out with press conferences and investor calls to reassure folks that they have a plan. And also, they're going to remind us probably over and over again that these stress tests were based on a worst-case scenario and that they're doing really just fine right now. Though others have argued that the stress tests were not nearly as stressful as they could have been.
Tamara Keith joining us from Washington. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Also out of Washington today, we'll hear more about President Obama's proposed budget plan. The president's promising cuts totaling $17 billion. That equals one half of 1% of the $3.4 trillion budget. Here's a nice Thursday surprise. New claims for jobless benefits unexpectedly fell last week to their lowest level since January. And the Dow had its highest close since the 9th of January. Yesterday, it was up 102 points to 8512. Right now in Europe, shares are higher across the board. And in Asia today, some healthy gains. The Nikkei was up more than 4.5%. The nation's biggest concert promoter will put its first quarter earnings on stage this afternoon. Live Nation is still waiting to find out if regulators will approve its proposed merger with Ticketmaster. Joel Rose has more.
Live Nation called itself the future of the music industry. The company spent hundreds of millions of dollars to sign Jay-Z, Madonna, and others to so-called 360-degree deals that gave Live Nation a share of all the artists' revenue streams, including merchandise.
The problem was these were vast sums. That paradigm is completely dead.
Longtime industry watcher Bob Lefsetz says Live Nation is still trying to get a bigger share of artists' revenues, but its approach has changed. Now Live Nation is trying to merge with Ticketmaster, which happens to own Frontline Management, a company that represents hundreds of top touring artists.
Suddenly it will be easier to make deals with acts because they'll be part of the same company, whereas presently there's an adversarial relationship.
But the deal still faces serious antitrust scrutiny from regulators in Washington and internationally. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America, committed to treating customers as people, not policies, online at trustedchoice.com. American Public Media presents A Better Life, Creating the American Dream, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
The latest Star Trek movie opens tomorrow, and one company is boldly going where no merchandiser has gone before. Marketplace's Caitlin Carroll got a whiff.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds.
And smells. The franchise loved by Trekkers and Trekkies around the world has something new for the fan with everything. Perfume. Three new scents. Pondfar for the ladies with notes of citrus. For the men, there's Tiberius, hints of cedar. And Red Shirt, kind of musky. John McGonigal runs Genki Wear, the company behind the $30 perfumes.
You know, I tell people that they should start out the day wearing Red Shirt. And if they make it through, you know, their job without being killed, that, you know, when they go out, they should put on Tiberius.
The names are inside jokes. Red Shirts are the anonymous crew members of the Enterprise who die in every episode. Tiberius, that's James T. Kirk's middle name. And Pondfar, well, that's a Vulcan mating ritual. Happens every 7 years. You don't mate, you die. And you don't get any of this, well, then you're really not the target audience anyway.
I had a gentleman yesterday that contacted us because he wants to wear Tiberius at his wedding, which is to be done entirely in Klingon.
Gavin Fitzsimmons is a professor of marketing and psychology at Duke University.
The beauty of the Star Trek brand is that for the target customers, boy, those associations are incredibly strong.
And when we buy perfume, he says what we're really buying is the idea of who we want to be.
What could be more aspirational than being James T. Kirk?
At a sci-fi convention in Los Angeles, I don't find any Kirk wannabes. I do find Eric Stillwell. He's a former script coordinator for Star Trek's Next Generation.
I've been a huge Star Trek fan since I was, like, 12.
His vote on the Star Trek scents?
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. But the cologne might actually save you from those creatures that want to suck the salt out of you or something like that.
He likes the clever packaging, too. Pondfar's bottle has a Vulcan-shaped blade on top. Red Shirt's tagline, because tomorrow may never come. He says these products are a galaxy away from the days when calendars came out with the Starship Enterprise flying upside down. In Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin Carroll for Marketplace.
And I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a nice day. Actually, I take that back. Live long and prosper.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.